The irony that we sometimes face is that some of the most important things of our lives are perhaps the things that we do not reflect on often. Sometimes they are deep matters and serious matters. For example, hope. How many of us sit down every day and think about hope? We don't take the time to do that, and yet, as I say it, hope is to every person what breath is to life. So these days when I visit my parents, for example, returning back to Dayton is becoming a heart-wrenching experience. It's like somebody has just put a hole in there and taken a part of my heart, and then I have to leave it back over there. I actually can't believe that I walked out of the house this time. And I think the only reason that I'm able to do so is because I have the hope that I will see them again. If I didn't have that hope, would I walk out? Tomorrow the world will be burying Nelson Mandela. 27 years in prison because he fought for equality. 27 years. Who in their right mind would not lose themselves after 27 years of just hard incarceration? How do you not lose your mind? Today was the anniversary of the death of 26 children, the murder of 26 children in Newtown, Connecticut. I heard some of the interviews of these parents who have buried 5 and 6 year old kids. How do they move on? And the answer is hope. For that matter, if you have ever been in a crisis, a cancer, a tumor, surgeries, accidents, divorce, death of a loved one, what is the only thing that sustains you? I think it is the hope that tomorrow will be better than today. Hope. Hope is to human beings what breath is to life. As is customary for Catholics, every third Sunday in Advent is called Gaudete Sunday, Rejoice Sunday. The scripture readings focus on joy. But what's the reason for the joy? The reason is hope. So Isaiah today proclaims the word of hope to the people in Israel who for 40 years were in exile. 40 years. Three of their favorite institutions, not just favorite, but their lives depended on these institutions. Temple, priesthood, sacrifice. These three things. For 40 years, they did not offer one of those because they were in exile. All these years, they experienced the intense distress that God had forgotten them. And for them, that was unbearable. They clung to the only hope that one day God will speak to them again. And then comes along Isaiah. And listen to the words that Isaiah proclaimed to them, and then you understand why. They began to just exult with joy. He says, strengthen the hands that are feeble. Make firm the knees that are weak. Say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong, fear not. Here is your God. He comes with vindication. He comes to save you. And the moment the people heard those words, Their hearts, I mean, they could not contain themselves. They break out into poems. They break out into song. Even nature exults with them. That's why today's reading begins with the words, "The desert and the parched land will exult. The steppe will bloom, will rejoice and bloom. They will bloom with abundant flowers and rejoice with joyful song." Right? So they get this hope that God is going to free them and they can go back to their promised land and be free once again. Hope. They get hope. They see a future. About 500 years later, the people of Israel were once again waiting. Heavily burdened under the Roman Empire, the people longed for liberation. And we can hear that eagerness in people's expectation when John the Baptist goes and asks Jesus, are you the Messiah? Are you the one or should we wait for another? Why? They hope for freedom. They hope for liberation. And you never think of Jesus as reciting poetry, but I almost hear the poem and song in Jesus' reply. What does it say? "Go and tell John what you hear. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them." There's a sense of exaltation. Something is going to happen. We are going to move on. Hope is here. God is in our midst. So some practical implications from today's readings about hope and rejoicing. First of all, Jesus teaches us hope. Even as I speak about hope, isn't one of our common experiences that our hopes do get dashed? I think we should be realistic because hopelessness is also a reality. When cancer overtakes somebody, when a beloved child is lost, when addiction causes somebody to lose themselves, when you see no financial respite at all. I know families that cannot look beyond tomorrow. Right? When depression and debilitating disease hits us, folks, hopelessness is real. Right now in Syria, in Palestine, parts of Africa, where there is ethnic violence or where people die of, hopelessness looks real. The reason why the Christian story makes sense to me is because it's a story of a God who teaches us never to abandon hope. Yes, hopelessness is real. Sometimes it hits a smack in the face. But the Christian story, the story of a God who teaches us never, even on the top of the cross, even on the cross, even when death is staring at us, that we don't abandon hope. I like the Christmas story because it's a story of a couple that is hopelessly roaming around the streets of Bethlehem, yet they don't abandon their hope. It's the story of a little weak baby born in a manger, but yet there is hope. It's a story of the cross, but yet there is hope. In fact, the cross becomes the culmination of human hope. So the Christian story tells me that even in the darkest hour, we should never abandon hope because God is with us even up to the cross. Jesus does not only teach us hope, but Jesus is the culmination of all our hopes. So we're entering the third week of Advent, and of course even before that, if you drive through the streets here, you will see lights. Go to the store, you'll see decorations. There is beauty and there is life. What am I saying? Yes, hopelessness is real, but people don't stop living, do they? I think these lights, these decorations, are a sign of hope. Little hopes, medium hopes, big hopes, they're all signs to us of hopes. However, all these hopes will one day cease, but for the hope of all hopes, Jesus. One day all our little hopes, this little desires we have, and they're important to God. The desire to be well again, the desire to make a living, these hopes are very important to God. That's why Jesus came. But these hopes one day will cease. They will cease to exist, and the only hope that we will have is what? I want to see God. How many times have I stood at the deathbed of people, anointing them and giving them the last farewell? And you know what? Everything they have lived, none of it has mattered. They only want to look forward and somehow have the hope that they will see God. And imagine dying without that hope. Jesus is the culmination of all our hope. And that's why in today's gospel reading, Jesus tells the disciples of John the Baptist, go and tell him the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf, the poor, the afflicted, the lost and the dying, they all have a reason to hope. Jesus is our hope. He is the one who leads us from death to life, from despair to hope, from darkness to light, from sin to freedom, from mortality to immortality, from damnation to salvation. It's Jesus who does that. He is the hope of all hopes, the culmination of all our hopes. So thirdly, I guess, what shall we do? I look at these gifts around the sanctuary over here, and I love to see it. About a couple of years back, we used to take them all and stack them in the garage, and I said, no, we're going to put them out here. You know why? Because a sign of hope. Some child or some parent who cannot take care of Christmas this year has said, please, can my child have a Barbie or maybe an iPod or a toy, a car, shoe, coat? In one sense, this is so important because when we give hope to people, we are like God, because God is hope. Hope is God. But I also want to say that this is but a small gesture of the hope that we can bring to people. Yes, this is a good beginning. This is a good beginning. It's a small gesture. For some people, it's a big gesture. But think about the hope you can give to somebody at home who is aged. Think about the hope that you can give to somebody whose marriage is failing. Think about the compassion you can give to somebody who is facing death. This is a good beginning, but these are symbolic of the larger hopes that we can bring to people. So in this third week of Advent, may I suggest to you, please, as you go back to your places, even, and maybe some of you even face hopelessness, even in the midst of that hopelessness, may I please suggest to you, go and be hope to somebody. Give life, give goodness, give love, give peace. Because when that happens, God becomes alive in our midst. Hope is God. God is hope. And if you do that, especially these coming 2 weeks of Advent, then when we meet the hope of all hopes, we'll recognize hope. The bread and wine, simple bread, humble wine, is put on the altar. And yet those simple gifts we offer become for us the greatest sign of hope. God is in our midst. As Isaiah said, He comes to save you. And we believe that. I certainly believe that. I'm clinging on to that. Here is my God who gives me hope. Here is my God who saves us. Let's say yes to hope. Let's say yes to God. Let's say yes to Jesus. People of God, say it.